So on Friday night, we, in our minds, left Jesus buried in a tomb. And that seemed to be the end of the story because, as we all know, dead is dead. That's what all who saw Jesus die on the cross believed to be true, especially the women we're thinking about today who watched him suffer, were helpless to ease his suffering. His mother, Mary of Magdala, some of the other women who loved and followed Jesus, they saw him breathe his last breath. They saw the Roman soldier pierce his side and the blood and water flow out. They saw his lifeless body taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb. They saw the stone rolled in front of the tomb. Imagine what their next few days were like. Desperate. They cried their tears. They said their goodbyes, though they couldn't believe it was happening. And they had no illusions that they would ever see Jesus alive again. They thought that he was the Messiah, but apparently not, because dead people can't be kings. It's the end, because dead is dead. And then something happened that no one saw coming. No one. No one expected it. Something that changed not only their lives, but has rippled down to us almost 2,000 years later. I'm reading, we have been our whole series in Lent, we have been in the Gospel of Matthew. So I'm reading today from Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men, and you would have too. I added that last little part. So according to Matthew, these women came to look at the tomb, perhaps to pray or to mourn, to at least be close to his body. They were there to pay their respects. And as they were there, an angel descended from heaven and rolled the stone away, which they watched in total disbelief. It's really amazing if you think about it, that who were the first ones to see the empty tomb? They were women. And you may not know this, but in that culture, if there was a trial, women could not testify because they were thought to be unreliable witnesses. Now, you and I know that they're probably better witnesses. But back then, they thought that they're just too emotional. They were not trusted as witnesses. So it's really amazing, and it's obviously in the account because it happened, that who were the first ones on the scene but the women who were there. And it's also really interesting to see the guards and their response. But whenever an angel of the Lord appears to a human, the first thing the humans do is fall down. It's just an automatic response. And it was true of those who were guarding the tomb. The irony is not to be missed. The ones assigned to guard the dead appear to be dead, and the dead one is missing from the tomb. After the stone is rolled away, the angel speaks to the women, and I think he had a big smile on his face. See if you agree. Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see the place where he lay. Jesus had already left the tomb. Apparently, that big, heavy stone over the mouth of the tomb was no obstacle for the resurrected Jesus. The angel ignores the guards who are still like dead men and speaks directly to the women. He has come for them. And what does he say to them? Come and see. Come and see. I know this is hard for you to believe because, after all, dead is dead. Dead is dead. But the angel tells them that Jesus isn't there. He is risen. And so all that they had known and accepted about death is called into question. They saw Jesus die. They were aware of every facet of his suffering. What do you mean that he is alive? And I feel like this Easter morning, the angel is saying the same thing to each one of us. Come and see. Come and see a man who was dead, who's no longer dead. Later in one of his writings, the Apostle Paul tells us that over 500 people on one occasion saw the risen Christ. This wasn't like a superstitious kind of thing. We believe in the historical bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, who when he was with his men said, "Do you have anything to eat? I'm really hungry." And then ate a piece of fish in front of them. So no Casper ghosts here. This is the resurrection, the bodily resurrection of Christ, witnessed by over 500 people over a period of 30 days. So the angel says to us this morning, come and see that the tomb is empty. Come and see that the Savior of the world has risen from the grave. Come and see that the path has been paved for the forgiveness of our sins. Come and see that Jesus finished his mission. It was a rescue mission from start to finish. He did everything that needed to be done. Come and see that you no longer have to live in darkness and fear. Come and see. So whether you've been a Christian for years or today is the first time in a long time that you're hearing this, we are invited to see and understand that Jesus rose from the dead. And for those who love and follow Jesus, we can follow him right into eternal life. Jesus said when he was visiting his two close friends whose brother had just died, I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, yet shall you live. I am the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? It means that there is hope for us, all of us who love and follow Jesus. There is hope for us that the power of God is greater than the power of sin and death. Many of you know my dad died about 2 months ago. There is hope for us and confidence that we will see our mom and dad again. There is hope for our close friend who's recently been diagnosed with terminal cancer. There is hope for all of us who love and follow Jesus, the risen Christ. That's, in a nutshell, what today means. That's what it means. Author and theologian N.T. Wright describes the resurrection this way. The resurrection proves Jesus' claim that Jesus claimed to be the Messiah is true. And again, that the power of God is greater than the power of sin and death. You saw probably in that bumper introducing this message that we have been in a series called Here and Now, that the kingdom of heaven begins here and now. This is what N.T. Wright writes about the resurrection. The resurrection completes the inauguration of God's kingdom. It is the decisive event demonstrating that God's kingdom really has been launched on earth as it is in heaven. The message of Easter is that God's new world has been unveiled in Jesus Christ and that you are now invited to belong to it. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus uses the language of kingdom 50 times. When he talks about himself, he says that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It started. This was good news for the Jews, but they had in mind another kind of kingdom that was all about politics and military and battles. But the kingdom that Jesus taught about looks different from any kingdom that the listeners were familiar with. Jesus spoke of a heavenly kingdom, a kingdom of God, a kingdom made up of his followers, and at his resurrection, this kingdom is established. A kingdom that is here and now. A kingdom that each of us is invited to participate in. A kingdom that will never end. And that is good news. The angel invites all of us to come and see that the man who is dead is no longer dead. That isn't all that the angel told the women. Let's go back to our text in verse 7. And the angel said, come and see, then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you. Now that they've seen the empty tomb, the angel instructs them to go and tell. Go and tell. They are witnesses, but they are also messengers. When there was a new Roman emperor, they would have messengers that would be sent out into the Roman Empire to carry the good news. There's a new emperor, and he's going to be better than the last one, right? Lower taxes, we promise. What do you think when they heard that there's a new emperor? Did they think, oh, things are going to be better? Or did they think things would pretty much be the same as they were? So these women are the first messengers of another kind of good news, right? What is this good news? Jesus is Lord. He's the new leader. Is this really good news? It really is. Is this a different kind of kingdom? It really is. This is a whole new thing. Am I happy on Easter morning? I am, because the resurrection of Jesus changes everything in our world, in the human story, and it can change everything in your life if you will love and follow Jesus. Go and tell. Think about what it must have been like for them to see the angel, to see the empty tomb. Well, go and tell the disciples. But really, could they have kept it quiet? Would you? Like, this has never happened before. Death no longer holds the final card. When you and I see and understand that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he has invited all who believe in him to live his kingdom here and now and for eternity, we should be happy to tell the good news, right? Come and see. Go and tell. There is hope for us. We can have a reconciled relationship with the Father. And instead of taking all the fun out of life, Jesus leads us into a life that is truly life, a life that is abundant. So, shout it from the mountaintops. Go and tell. Christ is risen from the dead. Go and tell that God has broken into human history and changed it forever. Dead is not dead. So after this, verse 8, the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. Greetings, he said. And they came to him and clasped his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Do we worship an empty tomb or a risen Savior? Right? It wasn't just that the tomb was empty. Then Christ appeared to them. I imagine they were speechless. This changes everything. And I imagine it took them days and days and weeks and months to figure out what this means. Go and tell. Go and tell. Sometimes when we are called to go and tell, and if you love Jesus, you are called to go and tell, and you might be like, who am I, right? I'm just an ordinary person. I haven't arrived. I don't have everything together. It's not really about that, is it? It's not really about us. We all need God's grace, don't we? We all need God's forgiveness. We all need God's healing. We are all on a journey, hopefully a healing journey. But it's precisely people like us that God uses to go and tell. Not that we have all the answers, because we don't. Not that everything in our life is perfect, because it isn't. But because we have come to know the living Christ. And through him, we now have a relationship with God that gives purpose to our lives. That God's Spirit comes to live inside of us and is making us more like Christ over time. And we hope people notice the difference. It's exactly people like us that God calls to go and tell. Go and tell. You see, dead is not dead. Our physical bodies will one day stop working for us. They will. But here's what we believe, and we're going to talk so much more about this next week, that when we who love and follow Jesus breathe our last breath here, that next moment, we are in paradise with God. That is our hope for ourselves. That is our hope for those that we love. And it's a hope that I pray that you have experienced. And if not, I invite you, come and see. Come and see. Come and see what life with God can be like. The prophet Hosea prophesied long ago, I will deliver this people from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your destruction? Jesus Christ is our hope. God has removed the fear of death from us. So, I'd like to invite you to do a couple of things today. I'd like to invite you to come back next week when we talk about what happens when I die. I think you might find it relevant. And if not today, you will someday. And then the following 2 weeks, we're going to explore some more things about heaven and hell. We are. What happens when I die? But today, I would like to invite you to enter into hope by having a relationship with Christ. Maybe you think, oh, I've heard this stuff before. And maybe someday I'll get around to it. Why not today? Why not today? I'm not going to press you on this. I'm inviting you to discover life in the risen Christ. Because not only did he rise again from the dead, but he shares his victory over sin and death with all who love and follow him, and that can include you. I invite you, come and see. Try it. Try it. What do you have to lose? What do you have to lose? Really, quite a few things, but they're not really good. Come and see the risen Christ. I invite you to find purpose and hope in Christ today. Every time when we hear the good news, there's a new Kyrios, a new Lord. His name is Jesus. Every time we hear the good news, we take a moment to respond to what we have heard before we sing again, before we say hello to the people who are here, before we go on and eat our Easter dinner. How will you respond to the good news of the risen Christ today? Come and see. We're going to give you a few moments to respond. Father, I thank you for the way that you show us your love. It was demonstrated. It was sacrificial. It's personal. But it's not overpowering. You invite us into relationship. You don't force us. You try to win our hearts through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your kindness. for your grace at work in our lives even before we become a follower of Jesus. Thank you for the way that you have loved us in Christ. And we are especially grateful today that Jesus rose again from the dead. The cross wasn't the end of the story. Our sin is not the end of the story. But your love and your power is. And in that power, in your victory over death, we find hope. And I pray for everyone here today that they might find peace and hope and joy through the risen Christ. I pray in his name. Amen.